Yes. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We're going to get started today. We're still in the Canons of Dort. We will be for quite some time. So as you guys are quieting yourselves, so let me open up in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another day you've given us again that we can receive your grace and mercy. And we thank you that we can receive it because of the work of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay. Article 18 of the Canons of Dort. The proper attitude. The proper attitude toward election and reprobation. Couple questions. Do you think it ridiculous that we have to actually take time to argue these points in order to make us see that God is the blessed and only sovereign? Ashamedly, the answer is yes. We deny that He alone is responsible for life and the administer of salvation. We humans tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. God is not a passive being waiting on us to activate His gifts, namely salvation through Jesus Christ, to the praise of His glory. Amen. Yet, here we are, week after week, discussing the topic of God's choosing and our response to His gift, the changing of our stony hearts into a heart of flesh. We do not change His mind, so He'll love us. He changes our minds, so we'll know what true love is. 1 John 4:10. Excuse me. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Later in the chapter, we see in verse 19, excuse me, we love, why? Because He first loved us, right? Exactly true. I'm sure at one time or another, I consider this where I'm coming from, all of us have been threatened or reminded by a parent or as a parent when a child talks back, hearing or saying, "Who do you think you are, raising your voice to me?" Or, "Don't you talk back to me." If we mere humans have a tendency to think that we are deserving of respect and honor because of our standing as a parent, why would we think that we can speak back to a holy God and tell Him what He ought to do? This brings us to the conclusion of the first main point of doctrine, divine election and reprobation. How we view these things. The proper attitude toward the election and reprobation. Article 18. This is what it says, if you want to follow along with me. To anyone or any who complain about this grace of an undeserved election and about the severity of a just reprobation, we reply with the words of the apostle, "Who are you, O man, to talk back to God?" Romans 9:20. And with the words of our Savior, "Have I no right to do what I want with my own?" Matthew 20:15. We, however, with reverent adoration of these secret things, cry out with the apostle, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways beyond tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has first given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." Romans 11:33 through 36. I just want to clarify here. All are under sin. We're all under sin, right? We've all agreed upon this. Everybody that comes here week in and week out, we know this. All are under sin and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Had God not raised us from the dead spiritually and given us ears to hear, we would not, nor could not, respond to His grace. Salvation is all a work of God, so no one can boast. Ephesians 2, right? Therefore, Therefore, God is just in destroying us under His wrath. So, for God to choose to save some under His covenantal promise by the blood of Christ, we should rejoice. We should rejoice that He has saved us. When approaching this teaching, we must do so with a sober mind, fully understanding that we have no right or claim to tell God who He can or cannot elect to salvation. On the contrary, who He can justly leave under His wrath, which we all rightfully deserve. The argument against this article has an unscriptural basis in thinking that man has enough good in him. There's no good in him. We discussed that over and over. Enough good in him to choose God's offer of salvation. Dead men can do nothing. Our God is in the heavens. He does all He pleases. Psalm 115:3. One of the next points in this. Who are we to talk back to God? Who are we to talk back to God? Romans 9:20, right? Has Christ no right to do with that which is His own? Matthew 20:15, as I repeated from the earlier part of the portion of the teaching. A few weeks ago, Steve talked about a man being autonomous in his thinking, meaning thinking that he or she is the final authority, independently making decisions. I and the Canons of Dort authors have clearly argued that we are not free in the clear sense, but sold under sin, making decisions based on our intake of corruption and from our sinful stony hearts, being born of Adam. It begs the question, who are we to talk back to God? Romans 9:20, as I just said. Why would we think we know what is best for us? Why would we deny the grace of God on our behalf and think that salvation is up to us, or that we could or would choose salvation? Why would we think there is something that's good in us that warrants salvation? Had God not breathed new life into the believer, you and me, He would have remained on His path. We would remain on path to receive God's just judgment. Amen. Steve used the comparison of a man as an ant trying to tell the Creator of the ant and all things, meaning everything that is created, what he, God, ought to do. Do we see the absurdity of this? Here, we're ants telling the Creator what we ought to do, what He ought to do. God has created all things, including us. He is perfect in all that He does, so why would we think that we know better than He? As I previously stated, dead men can do nothing, let alone choose God. God is gracious when He calls sinners to Himself and gives them the faith to receive the gift of salvation through Christ. When this happens, and you guys can testify to this, the believer gets a glimpse. He gets a glimpse, or at least they should, at the depth of their sin and the beauty of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jerry pointed out last week. He pointed out last week that we do not know who is the elect or who is reprobate. We do not elect people. We are to share the gospel and leave persons to God to do with as He pleases. The unbeliever, which was you and me at one time, right, has hardened his heart toward God and does not want to be with Him. Does not want to be with Him. We must be perfectly clear on this. We must keep in mind what the prize of faith in Christ brings. An eternity with Him where the believers will worship Him forever. The unbeliever is getting exactly what he wants. He doesn't want to be with Christ. So he's getting exactly what he wants in God's justice. Thank God He has elected us and shown us His beauty. You know, He's removed our stony hearts, right? So we now desire to see Him and look forward. We look forward to seeing Him without the burden of sin wreaking turmoil in our souls, right? Amen. This is our, you know, we're here. We're sojourners right now, right? We, however, with reverent adoration of the secret things, back to the teaching, cry out with the apostle, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways beyond tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever.
Amen. Romans 11, 33 through 36, as I previously read. But we, I'm going to keep going back to our response to all this, right? This is our response. But we, because we have received mercy from God, now have a loving respect for the secret things. We don't know them all, right? But we have a loving respect for them. After realizing that it is God's work of salvation, through His mercy and election, we see a sliver, just a small sliver of the depths of God. Yet without fully understanding, we cry out that He is the only wise one, full of infinite wisdom. This is who He is. This is who He is, the omniscient one, full of grace and truth. He is the only, not you or I, the only all-knowing being, seeing the end from the beginning. We who have seen this grace by revelation, now as believers, can know. We can know. We can know to an extent what He has revealed to us through His Word and the Spirit that now dwells in us. Submitting to this truth brings total reliance on God for everything, from the life He has given us to the salvation that He has granted to the believer as a gift. You didn't earn it. You receive it, and He gives you a new heart that you can receive it. He is perfectly just in leaving us where we were, but He chose not to. As ones who have been given the gift of salvation, we should join the Apostle Paul in saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 7:24. This is our response. This is how we rightfully respond to God's gift of salvation. We don't think we earned it. We humbly reply, "Thank you." Any questions, comments? Good? Everybody's good? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for giving us the gift of salvation that comes through Your Son, Jesus Christ, breaking our hearts open and giving us a heart of flesh that receives Your Word through the Spirit and the salvation of Your Son. Please keep us and guard us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.